Good morning, everyone. It's a privilege to minister the Lord's Word to you in Newton Arch this Lord's Day. We want to thank the Reverend Woods and the session for the invitation. It is very disappointing that we can't meet with you in the church because of the circumstances, but we do pray that the Lord will use His Word as it goes forth over the internet. We pray that the message will be a word in season to all that hear it. We're going to read a short passage from the Scriptures. We're reading from the Old Testament Scriptures. It's the prophecy of Isaiah, the 6th chapter. And we're going to read just the first 8 verses of that passage of God's Word. We encourage you to turn to the place in the Scriptures and to follow the reading. But let us hear the word of the Lord to our hearts today. Isaiah chapter 6 and the verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings, with 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. So we're just going to end the reading there this morning at the close of the 8th verse. And we know the Lord will follow with His blessing this, the public reading of His Word. We want just to take a moment or two to seek the Lord in prayer. We're conscious that we need the Lord's help. We want the message to be a blessing, to be profitable to all that hear it. We want to know the anointing of the Spirit upon the message. So we'll just take a moment to seek the Lord together. Father, we do bow in thy presence, glad that we can seek thee at any time. We're thankful, Father, for the assurance of your word, that your ear is always open to the cry of your people. We're glad, Father, that even in these circumstances we can lift our hearts to thee. We thank you for the technology that enables your word to go forth, even in these very difficult times. We thank you, Father, for opening up new doors, so that many more people can hear the word of the Lord in these days. Remember the congregation in Newton Arch. We pray for the Reverend Woods, the session, all the office bearers. Guide them, give them wisdom, encourage them. Father, keep your hand upon the congregation. And we pray, Father, would please thee, that even in these very difficult circumstances, that each will know the presence, the encouragement, the provision of the Lord. And we pray, Father, the work of the gospel there in the town of Newton Arch will advance, and that you'll open up new opportunities and even send in new people. We just pray now that you'll bless your word. Thank you for the Scriptures. We thank you for the word of God. You've said in the Scriptures that we have a more sure word of prophecy. It's a light that shineth in a dark place. And we thank you, Father, that in these dark days you've given to us the light of Scripture. And we just ask now in the words of young Samuel, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Give help, Father, in the ministry of your word, even in these circumstances. But we want to pray that your word will be just that message that is needed to encourage the Lord's people, even at this time. Answer these, our prayers. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take as our text for the message this morning the first verse of the passage that we read together, Isaiah chapter 6 and the verse 1. It tells us, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I want you to think of those words especially, where he says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. I want you to think of the well-known children's chorus. God is still on the throne. And I want you to ponder with me that great truth. I do pray that it will grip your heart this morning, because that is really the message of this passage, of this chapter that we have read together. The title, the first line of that chorus, really sums up for us the contents of this chapter. Let me just give you quickly a little of the background. This was a dark day in Judah. There was dearth throughout the land. There was spiritual barrenness all around. In fact, the barrenness was so widespread that Jerusalem was described as Sodom. If you look back to chapter 1 and verse 10, you'll find that recorded. And how relevant that is when we think of our own land, even think of our own capital city at this particular time. But in addition to the dearth, there was also death. King Uzziah was dead. He had died in ignominy and shame, because he had died as a leper. He died as a leper as a result of his pride and his disobedience. You can read that story in full in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. So the throne of Judah was vacant. It was empty. And the nation was in deep mourning. It was a time of great change, a time of disruption. It was a time of uncertainty. Iniquity was abounding spiritually. The tide was out. The people were anxious and they were fearful for the future. But what the Lord wanted Isaiah to know, and what the Lord wanted the servant to understand, was the great truth that despite all of those facts and all of those circumstances, that he was still on the throne. A great king may have left his throne on earth, but the King of Kings was still on his throne in heaven. And brethren and sisters, the Lord wants you to grasp that truth today as well. Our land is filled with wickedness. It's filled with confusion. Nobody knows what is happening. Nobody knows where we're going. Circumstances in your own life may be difficult. At times, they may even be overwhelming for you. You're fearful today. You're fearful for yourself, for your future, for your family. Well, if that is so, well then here's a truth to settle and to encourage your heart. The Lord reigns. The Lord's still in control. The Lord is still upon the throne. And I pray that you'll see that afresh this morning. Notice in verse 1 the word also. Isaiah had seen the throne of Judah. He had stood in the royal court of the land. He had spoken there for God. But Isaiah saw more than the throne of Judah. He saw further. He saw higher. And they also saw God's throne in heaven. God gave him a sight, a vision, a glimpse of glory. God gave him a glimpse of heaven, because he says in verse 1, I saw also the Lord. And I want you to stop and just ponder there. And can I ask you, has that ever been your experience? Have you ever had that sight, ever had that vision? Have you ever saw the Lord as Isaiah did on this occasion? At a very dark and difficult time in Judah's history, Isaiah looked to the Lord. And brethren and sisters, I want to urge you to do the same. I want to encourage you to get your eyes off yourself, get your eyes off others, get your eyes off the circumstances, the situation, and get your eyes today back upon the Lord. And how that will encourage your heart, how that will settle your mind. Can I remind you that as you read and study the Bible, you should often ask the question, what does this passage, what does this chapter, what does this book of the Bible teach me about the Lord? And I want you to understand that there's much about the Lord here in Isaiah chapter 6. There's much here about the greatness of our God and the greatness of His throne. And I want just for a few minutes to list some of those truths about the Lord and about His throne that are recorded for us here by the prophet Isaiah. And I want to mention these things for your encouragement in these very difficult days in which we're found. You'll notice, first of all, he tells us about the sovereignty of God's throne. In our text in verse 1, he says of the Lord that He's high and He's lifted up. But just pause for a moment and consider that. And the idea of those words is not that the Lord's throne is above all other thrones. And it is. There's not a doubt about that. There's much more here. It's also the idea that the Lord's throne is over all other thrones. And I want to stress that, brethren and sisters. His throne is over all other thrones as it rules and as it commands them. So here we see God's sovereignty. He rules over all. Do you remember that Daniel the prophet said that the heavens rule? And the Lord had to teach Nebuchadnezzar that lesson. He was one of the greatest monarchs ever to sit upon a throne. But the reality today perhaps is that you need to see, you need to be reminded of that truth, that the heavens rule. So see, brethren and sisters, that great truth here in that chapter. That's one of the things the Lord wants us to see, what the Lord wants us to learn. God is in control. His hand is guiding. His hand is controlling all nations. His hand is controlling the affairs of this world in which we are found. Events are not out of control. There was no panic in heaven. Nothing had taken God by surprise. If you study the passage carefully, you will see that God is working all things after the counsel of His own will. So be encouraged today. Be encouraged by this great truth of the sovereignty of God's throne. Isaiah saw His sovereignty, but he also saw the eternality of God's throne. Remember that Uzziah, the king who had just died, Uzziah had one of the longest reigns in Judah's history. Uzziah reigned for 52 years, just over half a century. But that is only a drop in the bucket compared with Jehovah, because Jehovah's throne, Jehovah's reign is eternal. Remember what Paul said, writing to young Timothy, he's the king eternal, not the king temporal, the king eternal, immortal, invisible. Think of what the psalmist said, he sitteth king forever. The psalmist said again, thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. Here's the eternality of God's throne. Monarchs come and go. Kingdoms rise and fall. But God rules and reigns forever. Our God never abdicates. Our God is never deposed. Our God is never toppled from His throne. The God that Isaiah saw in this vision, sitting on His throne over 2,500 years ago, He still rules today, brethren and sisters, and He always will. He saw the eternality of God's throne. As well as that, he saw the purity of God's throne. You think of Uzziah dying as a leper. The king was defiled, he was unclean. And what that meant was that everything that he touched was unclean as well. And that included his throne. His throne was defiled. We're told in 2 Chronicles 26 that Uzziah finished his days in a several house. The idea of that term, several house, means a separated house. Lepers were driven out because of their defilement. They were free from company. They were separated from their family, from their home, from the palace in Uzziah's case. So Uzziah was defiled. But what a contrast with the holiness of God. What a contrast with the holiness of his throne. And remember that the passage teaches us that he's thrice holy. The angels sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." That's a reference to the Trinity, to the three persons of the Godhead. The holiness of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. A thrice holy God. And God is so holy that the angels in his presence had to cover their face and had to cover their feet with their wings. If I could mention to you about the head covering, Paul teaches about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. One of the reasons that Paul gives as he makes the case for the head covering in that passage is because of the angels. Well, that's a reference to Isaiah chapter 6, this passage that is before us this morning. The angels cover themselves in God's presence. They have six wings. With two they flew, two they covered their face, with two they covered their feet. So that the angels covered themselves in God's presence. And Paul's arguing from that, so too should the ladies. And remember, brethren and sisters, that in the light of God's holiness, Isaiah saw his own sinfulness. He said, "Woe is me." He wasn't proud. He wasn't boastful. He wasn't puffed up. But he was humbled before the Lord. Can I ask you, as we consider this passage this morning, do you see, do you feel your own sin today? As you look on the holiness of God, as you look upon the holiness of the God of heaven as he sits upon his throne, do you see your own sinfulness in his sight? So he saw the purity of God's throne. I want you to see, in the fourth place, Isaiah saw the deity of God's throne. Verse 1 says, "I saw also the Lord." Let me point out, brethren and sisters, that the person especially that Isaiah saw was the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. You ask, how do we know that? Well, remember that one part of the Bible throws light upon another. It's always important to compare Scripture with Scripture. And I want to point out that this passage, Isaiah 6, is often quoted, it's often referred to in the New Testament Scriptures. For example, in John 12, verse 41, after quoting from this chapter, verse 10 especially, we are told, "These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him." So here's Christ in the Old Testament Scriptures. This vision of Isaiah is especially a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah actually saw the Savior, the one who is Jehovah Jesus. And brethren and sisters, there's nothing that will change your life. There's nothing that will lift your heart like a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what the New Testament tells us. "Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." As you read the Scriptures, one thing you need to do regularly, even as you read the Word of God, lift your heart to the Lord and pray this prayer. "Show me thyself." Ask the Lord to reveal himself to you in his word. Isaiah looked to the Lord on this dark day in Judah's history. And I want to urge you to do the same, brethren and sisters, in the days, the very uncertain, the very difficult days in which we're found. Can I remind you that there's an old saying that when the outlook is bleak, try the uplook. So I want to encourage you to engage in the uplook. And we need to look up, brethren and sisters, to the Lord himself in heaven as he sits upon his throne. You remember Noah? Noah in the ark. Noah was in lockdown for over a year in the ark. There was just one window in that great vessel. The window was in the roof. The scriptures tell us that Noah was given the instruction to finish it above. So just one window. The window was above him in the roof. And what that window did was this. It kept Noah looking up to heaven, looking up to the Lord. It reminded him that even in the storm, that God was on the throne. Even in the storm, God was in control. And how important that is, brothers and sisters, how important that look is. And I want to encourage you today to look up. I want to encourage you today to look unto Jesus, the one that is the author and the finisher of our faith. Look to the Lord in every situation. Some of you will be familiar with the name of Ivan Thompson, the late Pastor Ivan Thompson. Ivan, when he came to Christ as a young man, he spoke one day to a mature, experienced believer in the fellowship that he belonged to. He asked this dear old saint of God for some good spiritual advice for him as a young Christian, as a new convert. And what the old believer said to him was simply this: O pilgrim bound for the heavenly land, never lose sight of Jesus. Ivan was a wee bit surprised. He thought the old believer might have said more to him. But he realized this, or he learned this, as the years went past. How wise that advice was that dear old saint of God had given to him. So let me repeat it. Let me pass it on to you today. Pilgrim, bound for the heavenly land, never lose sight of Jesus. He saw his deity. There's one other thing I'll emphasize, and that is that Isaiah saw the authority of God's throne. In verse 3, we're told, we're given the name the Lord of Hosts. This is one of Isaiah's favourite names for God. I encourage you to watch for it as you read through the entire prophecy. Isaiah uses this name of the Lord at least 65 times. Remember, this is one of the great Jehovah titles of the scriptures. Lord Sabaoth, or Jehovah of Hosts. You think today of the hosts of heaven. Think of all of the myriads of angels. Daniel tells us that a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, just think of the numbers. Thousands ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Well, 10,000 times 10,000, that's quite a figure. That might be somewhere in the region of 100 million. So we learn there's a vast, incomprehensible host of angels, men and women. And he is their Lord. He is Lord of all. And remember that they're all at his control. Do you remember in Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane? The Lord Jesus said to Peter, Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? A legion generally in those times was about 6,000 in number. So the Lord Jesus said to Peter that he could just ask, just think of that, all he had to do was ask the Father for 72,000 angels to come to his aid. So just take that in today. He's the Lord of the hosts. They're all under his control. They're all under his command. Literally what that means, or what that name means, is he's the Lord of the armies. That's the heavenly armies. The heavenly throne has a heavenly army. He is a God of warfare. He opposes sin. He defeats the enemy of righteousness, the enemy of the gospel. And brethren and sisters, it's vital to remember that in this day. In this day in which we live, when there's a great battle for the faith, and the cause of God seems to be defeated. Never forget the spiritual warfare that is going on. God is defending his cause. God is defending his name. And always remember the encouraging words, or that encouraging truth, that Elisha the prophet stated to his servant when they were in Dothan, and he prayed the Lord would open the servant's eyes, and he said to him, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And the Lord opened Elisha's servant's eyes that day to see the heavenly host that was round about them, that was there to protect them in those very dangerous circumstances. So he's Lord of hosts, brethren and sisters. And the Lord gives us a special glimpse here of the host of heaven, because we're told about the seraphims. Can I point out that this is the only mention of the seraphims by name in all the Bible? The name seraphims, it means the noble of the burning ones. They burn especially with zeal. They sing his praise. The seraphims are ever ready to do his bidding. And so should we be, brethren and sisters. We ought to be zealous for the Lord as well. And remember that because of salvation, we have greater reason to praise the Lord. We have greater reason to be zealous in his service. So here is something of what Isaiah saw, of the vision that he had of God's throne, whenever the Lord taught him that he was still upon the throne. I want you to say to you in closing that the result of this vision, the result of Isaiah knowing and realizing that God was still upon the throne, the result was this: Isaiah's life was changed. Isaiah's life was never the same again. And brethren and sisters, we need that same vision. We need that same sight today. So let me just quickly, in closing, tell you how Isaiah's life was changed as a result of the vision that he saw here in the 6th chapter of his prophecy. For one thing, his lips were changed. In verse 5, he said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." I wonder, is that true of you? Maybe you don't speak as a Christian should. Maybe you use bad words, you gossip, instead of using your lips and your tongue to praise the Lord and for prayer and for preaching, for witnessing, telling others of Christ. But the passage tells us that Isaiah's lips were cleansed. Is it true today that you need that cleansing? Do you need to cleanse your lips, your speech, as a result of seeing the Lord, as a result of seeing his holiness? But something else, not only was his lips changed, so too was his listening. In verse 8, we're told that he said, "I heard the voice of the Lord say." He didn't just see the Lord, but he also heard him, heard his voice. And brethren and sisters, that's a great mercy. It's always a great mercy to hear the voice of God. Can I ask you, did you hear the Lord today? Did you hear his voice today? Bishop John Taylor Smith, he was a Keswick speaker, a very prominent evangelical bishop in the Church of England in the early part of the 20th century. He used to just walk up to people candidly, pointedly, ask them the question, "What did the Lord say to you today?" And that's a very good question for every Christian to ask. Consider it in your own heart just now. What did the Lord say to you today? We need to pray, brethren and sisters, the prayer of young Samuel. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And remember that you'll never hear the Lord if you don't attend the meetings. You'll never hear the Lord if you don't read his word. So I want to encourage you, pray earnestly that the Lord will give you ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. There's one other thing I want you to see. His lips were changed, his listening was changed, and his labors were changed. In verse 8, Isaiah surrendered. He surrendered his life to God's service. He said, "Here am I, send me." Can I ask, will you do the same? Let me remind you, brethren and sisters, that your church, the cause of the gospel, the mission field, needs laborers, and needs laborers more than ever. And I wonder, will you be one of those laborers? Will you go? Go for the Lord. Go wherever He leads you, wherever He calls you. Remember the words of the great missionary hymn, "Where He may lead me, I will go." You think of this. God is on the throne of the universe. We've emphasized that. We've considered it at length this morning. God is on the throne of the universe. He always has been, and He always will be. But here's the great question. Is He on the throne of your life? The throne of your heart today? He says, "Give me thine heart." You know the reason why the Lord wants your heart? Because the person that has your heart has all of you. If you give your heart to the Lord, that means you're surrendered entirely to Christ and to His service. Will you give your heart to Him today? Christian, is God still on the throne of your life? I want you to consider that very searching question at the close of the message today. So what a treat this is, brethren and sisters. God is still on the throne. That's a tremendous message. And I pray that it will bless and encourage your hearts this morning. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple." I pray earnestly that the Lord will bless His word today, and I pray that He'll make it a blessing and encouragement to all of your hearts in these very challenging and uncertain times. Thank you, and God bless you all.